Greater Good Radio.
I use as a rule of thumb that I'm trying to get about 5 times my money in 3 years or 10 times my money in 5 years.
Hi, we can design your home in 1 minute or less.
Inspire. Inspire.
If you are doing your passion on a daily basis, then you're never going to have to work a day in your life.
Greater Good Radio, brought to you by Central Pacific Bank, fiercely loyal banking.
Welcome to Greater Good Radio Hawaii, where we develop tomorrow's leaders by bringing you up close and personal with today's top business people. Greater Good Radio Hawaii is dedicated to the promotion and implementation of social entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Evan Leong, and today's show is brought to you by Central Pacific Bank, fiercely loyal banking. Today's guest is Gwen Watanabe, general partner of Saratoga Ventures, a $10 million medical device venture fund. Gwen has an engineering degree from MIT, a master's degree in engineering from Stanford, and a Harvard MBA. She also has 5 medical device patents issued and 20 pending. Gwen has worked locally with the McNaughton Group, Kobayashi Group, and Lava Ventures, which was a major investor in Hoku Scientific. Please welcome to Greater Good Radio, Gwen Watanabe.
Thank you, Evan. Appreciate it.
Oh, great. So you're actually on vacation right now.
I am. Yeah, in lovely Hawaii, and it's been pouring rain, but it's been great.
But you've pretty much been meeting all day, it seems.
I've been meeting all day today, and very productive meetings with many of the local potential investors for Saratoga Ventures.
Oh, interesting. So what exactly is Saratoga Ventures, and how did you get involved with them?
So Saratoga Ventures is a medical device-focused venture capital fund. We're based in the Bay Area, which 90% of all medical device startup companies are located around Stanford Hospital and Stanford University. The fund is a private equity fund, so what we do is we raise money, and we'll end up investing in startup companies in the Bay Area, so medical device companies, which will, you know, become larger companies and eventually get acquired or go public, and that's how we get our returns and liquidity events.
So as a venture capitalist, you guys are raising funds from
private investors, institutions, private investors,
pension funds, and
pension
so on.
Funds. Since we're a small fund, we sort of fall under, our limited partners are wealthy families or smaller institutional investors.
And these people are looking primarily for what type of returns?
Typically net to limited partners, which limited partner is an investor, 20 to 25% over the life of the fund per year. So these funds are long-term, typically 5 to 7 years in length, and that's what we shoot for.
And then at the end of that time period, they close out the fund and start something else?
Right. So, what happens is the portfolio companies that you've invested in will have grown into the size of the life of their companies to be acquired by a larger fund like Johnson & Johnson, Medtronic, Boston Scientific. These larger companies will acquire these startup companies so that they can get the technology and have new products to sell. And at that point, then we'll distribute the proceeds to the limited partners, the investors.
Okay. So as a venture capitalist, though, how does this all work? How does venture capitalist people actually get paid?
So the funds have management fees. And typically that ranges between 1.5% to 3% of the committed capital, and that's how we get paid. So the management fees will cover your operational expenses, your salaries, any administrative help you need, etc.
And then how about when the companies end up going IPO or
right.
or acquisition? Then what happens?
Right. So we participate. We also invest side by side with our investors, 1%, and then we will participate on the back end for part of the profits. After we've met a certain hurdle.
So what's your average investment size then for your fund?
Right. So for Saratoga Ventures, we look at each investment as, through the life of the company, we target around $750,000 to $1 million.
Would that be the Series A funding then, pretty much?
It would be Series A, B, C, and then to exit. So if we go into a Series A investment, we have to hold back, and they call it dry powder, to be able to invest pro rata in the company Series B, Series C, Series D, etc. So
what makes a venture capital fund different than an angel investor then?
Well, an angel investor, typically they'll be individuals who invest on a one-on-one basis with the company. So they'll go directly into the company. So angel investors, they do similar functions. Typically the amount that they invest might be lower than a venture capital fund. I mean, we are a small venture fund, so we'd be similar to an angel investor, except that we sometimes sit on the board of directors. Sometimes we also found companies, and we'll develop the companies and the management teams, et cetera. Angel investors aren't always passive, but typically they're passive investors.
So do you guys normally come in after the angel investors come in? Is that how it works?
Sometimes, but not always the case, yeah.
What stage do you guys normally come in?
Saratoga Ventures is an early stage investment vehicle, so it would be a Series A typically, or Series B. And we like to side by side with the larger venture funds like DeNovo Ventures, Lateral Ventures, Delphi Ventures, and we'll sort of...
Like a HUI.
HUI, exactly. Yeah. A syndication.
Well, interesting. So what type of devices are you guys investing in then?
Right.
Is it a specific sector of that market, or
so we focus on therapeutic medical devices. An example would be we invested in a company called Aortix, which is in the Bay Area, and they invent a minimally invasive percutaneous aortic valve.
What is that?
So the heart has valves that allow your heart to function most efficiently and pump the blood through your body. Oftentimes these valves become leaky and they don't function as well. And that's part of...
You mean like there's holes in them?
There's holes or rips or tears. So sometimes you need to get a surgical replacement of the valve, which requires a very invasive surgery, crack open your chest, etc. What Aortix is inventing is a way to deliver something through your leg, femoral artery, and place it percutaneously, so in a very small incision, that would essentially do the same thing as a surgical replacement. So
wait. So they take the vein out of your leg and put it into your heart.
You access the your heart through your leg. So all your arteries are connected, and so you can through a delivery catheter access your heart by a femoral incision.
Well, that's interesting. What other companies have you guys invested in?
So we invested in a company called Cetagon, and that company is actually in Virginia, which is outside of the Bay Area, obviously, but something that we typically wouldn't normally do unless we had a venture capital partner that was in that area, which we do have. And it's a bioabsorbable stent. So I'm sure you've heard of a stent. A stent props open your artery. When sometimes people have plaque in the arteries that sort of shut it down. So this device, instead of being a metal, is made out of a bioabsorbable material. So it'll prop open your artery long enough to have the body maintain it open without having that material in there. Your body absorbs it. So it's a great technology.
And then what happens to the stent after that?
It's absorbed by your body.
Oh, kind of like stitches.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Huh. So how do you guys actually determine which of these companies you're going to invest in?
Right. So we do significant due diligence with these companies. We look at their intellectual property, the management team, the market size, reimbursement, everything. And, it's a process in which we look at, 10 different business plans a week, and we'll end up investing in one out of 30 or 40.
And then the business plans that come into you, you guys are finding them, or people are just constantly sending you things?
It's sort of a multifaceted approach. It's, because of the network that we have in the Bay Area, a lot of it comes from entrepreneurs and CEOs that have either sold their company and then now they're starting a new company, and so we sort of know them that way, or through Stanford Bioinnovation Program. There's a lot of deal flow that way, but I'm seeing a huge amount of innovation in the medical device arena.
Oh, interesting. You're listening to Greater Good Radio Hawaii. Please visit us online at greatergoodradio.com. Today's guest is Gwen Watanabe, general partner of Saratoga Management, a $10 million medical device venture fund. Gwen also has 5 medical device patents issued and 20 pending. So we were talking a little bit about how you folks actually get these companies. But I would think you're overwhelmed with companies trying to approach you folks, right?
Right. So you have to have your filter. You're basically a filter. And we rely on our partners, so the larger venture funds, our advisors, Peter Fitzgerald and Rich Ferrari, entrepreneurs, to sort of give us feedback quickly on these different business opportunities.
Wait, so most of the deal flow is coming from people you already know then?
Yes.
If someone approaches you directly, will you take a look at it, or
kind of
like not really?
No, absolutely. And if the story is compelling, if the technology is new and innovative, there's about 20 different aspects of a company that we'll look at. Absolutely, we'll look at anybody's business plan in this particular space, therapeutic medical devices.
Those two companies that you folks invested in, they came through warm contacts of some sort then?
Right. The first deal, Aortix, came through our clinical advisor, Peter Fitzgerald, and the second one came through a partner that we currently co-invest with, BioStar Ventures.
Okay. So, well, let's talk about how you got involved with this. I mean, how did you end up becoming a venture capitalist? You went to school as an engineer, correct?
Right. I went to school as an engineer, and then I was hired out of the Stanford master's program by an entrepreneur and a venture capitalist and a physician. His name is Dr. Thomas Fogarty. And he's done over, 40 to 50 startup medical device companies and sold them. He also founded...
You mean 40 or 50 he's actually sold?
Started and sold. Yeah, he's a world-renowned physician and entrepreneur. He also started a venture capital firm called Three Arch Partners. So out of my first job, I was hired by him, and I worked for a startup company called Anurex. I was an engineer. We ended up getting purchased by Medtronic for... $72.5 million, and it was 2 years after I had started. So it was sort of like I was bitten by the startup bug.
But you were actually doing engineering work then?
I was doing engineering work. Okay. And marketing work. I ended up doing marketing work. Then I went to business school after that, and I came back to Dr. Fogarty, and we started a company called Bacchus Vascular, another medical device company.
So when you came back out of school, you knew you wanted to link back up with
Dr. Fogarty,
yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. But I wanted to be more on the fundraising, business development, marketing side instead of being an engineer.
More exciting, right?
More exciting, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So to me, at least.
So it was only you and him as the main partners?
No,
initially?
It was he, myself, and there was another VP of R&D that I'd worked with before, and another woman who was also in research development.
Okay, so this is a little bit different then because you have two women and then one man. That's very different in this venture capital arena where it's mostly white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, right? It's typically Ivy Leaguers that are men.
Right, so this is more on the operating side of things. And I would say that you're right. I mean, it's predominantly a male-dominated industry.
So... I mean, what did you have to do to prove yourself? Because if you're going up against, typically high-level guys all the time, it's probably a little bit,
Well, luckily I had a track record of the prior startup company and being successful. So that also helped a lot. And then the credibility of going to business school and having my MBA also helped. So that sort of moved me along further as far as the credibility aspect of doing, startup company and then furthering along doing venture capital.
Did you actually raise the funds then for that?
I helped raise the funds, yes.
Okay. Right. So, I mean, that's kind of earning your keep at that point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Oh.
So, BJ Kobayashi recently came on this show and he wanted me to ask you, how is it being so smart, basically, is what he wanted me to ask you. Because especially in kind of this... man's arena, it can be somewhat intimidating for others at some point. Do you find that as an advantage or as a disadvantage?
I think it's, I mean, I don't know if I'd call myself so smart, but, I think that knowing or having gone to such, well-established schools helps open doors. What you do once the doors open is up to you, and it doesn't necessarily matter where you went to school or where you you didn't go to school. It's about, you know, getting your job done and working with people.
So do you think that being a woman was an advantage then, or a lot of, you know, discrimination at some point?
Yeah, there is a lot of that. And, you know, I think proving yourself or just getting the job done, focusing on work and doing what you can and what's in your control is what made me excel, I guess. And not focusing on what the things I couldn't control, you know, sometimes if people think, you know, she's a woman or not a woman or whatever, you know, I can't control what somebody thinks of me.
So. Have you ever had like blatant just discrimination?
Yes, I have.
Can you tell us a story without naming names or what? No?
No. Okay. I try not to dwell on things I can't control or the past. You know, it's not helpful. You know, I try to focus on positive things and making a difference. Yeah.
Okay. You're listening to Greater Good Radio Hawaii. Our guest is Gwen Watanabe, general partner of Saratoga Management, a $10 million medical device venture fund. We'll have more coming up on Sports Radio 1420.
This is Gina Mangieri with the Kohl Academy and KHON2 News with Carrie and Evan on Greater Good Radio Hawaii.
How'd he sell his company to Akamai Technologies for $3 billion?
Find out at greatergoodradio.com.
Who donates 6% of sales to make more money?
Find out at greatergoodradio.com.
How do you get 100 stores and 100 million in sales in less than 10 years?
Find out at greatergoodradio.com.
Who raised $50,000 in a few weeks for the tsunami relief?
Find out at greatergoodradio.com.
And all while benefiting the community.
Greatergoodradio.com.
Is managing your business finances taking up too much of your time? Welcome to the Money Minute from Central Pacific Bank. Today, we're talking with Gail Ige-Young, Vice President of Cash Management.
For many business owners, streamlining operational processes and managing cash flow are two concerns that I often hear. The good news is cash management tools can simplify or even automate many of these processes for you. With online tools via the internet, it's easy to take care of funds transfers, ACH and wire transfer needs. Today, even payroll processing and tax payments can be handled online. By using these and other cash management tools, you can actually have more control over your finances with less effort. The time you save can allow you to refocus your energy on other important areas, such as new business development or sales growth.
Today's Money Minute is brought to you by Central Pacific Bank, where you'll always find bankers that are fiercely loyal to you. Central Pacific Bank, member FDIC.
This is Gail Jennings from HawaiiDiner.com and EverybodyEats.org. I read selectively all of the papers, but I tend to read more of the columns at Star Bulletin. A lot of it is I like Erica Engle. I like her column, The Buzz. I get good information from that. I like their coverage of the different issues. I like the Star Bulletin.
Would you recommend other people to read Star Bulletin?
Absolutely. I think we need to be as informed as possible.
Star Bulletin.
This is Jim Tollefson, President and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii. I definitely would recommend the Chamber of Commerce to others. The benefits are that you get to meet other businesses, you get to work together with other businesses, and help you improve your business to make more money to be successful. If you're not a member already, then give me a call, 545-4300, extension 388. I invite you to join us in creating a better Hawaii, a Hawaii that's better for us, for our children, and for the future.
We're back with Gwen Watanabe. And Gwen, can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what it's going to take for other women to enter into this kind of a marketplace?
I think it's about hard work and, you know, getting the experience necessary for, you know, engineering. Engineering certainly is a very useful tool for me to do due diligence on companies, look at their products, the technology, understand the market space, etc. Also,
because you know what they're building.
Because you know what they're building, right. That's an advantage. So I think that's a great tool to have. And then also from the finance perspective, you know, having an MBA and understanding how companies work from a financial standpoint is very advantageous, because I can understand, you know, what is their capital requirements going to be? Is their business plan realistic? I mean, that's an advantage. So I think having those tools in my toolkit, you know, I rely on them a lot. And I think for whether it's a woman or a man, I think that those are things that you need to have. And whether you get that from school or from experience or learning from somebody else, you know, it's there's multi paths to the same place, I think. Yeah.
So you are a strong proponent of higher education, obviously, then.
Yeah, I think it's a way, like I said, to get the door open. And what you decide to do once the door's open is completely up to that person.
Okay. Right. So how did you end up coming back here and working with the McNaughton Group and Kobayashi Group and Lava Ventures then?
Right. So my dear friend BJ Kobayashi called me one day and, you know, out of the blue and just said, hey, we're looking at Kaka'ako and this development that the new medical school and this new initiative that the state has regarding new technologies, high technologies, biotechnologies. And we want you to come back and help us, you know, look at developing space that could be used for startup companies.
What year was that?
That was in the year 2003.
And you were working with Bacchus at the same
time? Yeah. And so I decided to leave Bacchus at that time. The company had grown to about 30 people. I like smaller companies. And so once it gets to be about 30 people, it's about when I exit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the raw phase of, you know, starting a company when there's four of us, and that's the fun part.
And it moves fast, and the energy's up,
and politics are zero. Exactly. Yeah. That's the fun part of working in a startup.
So once all the bureaucracy gets put in place, it's like
time to get out. Right. So, you know, it's not that you can't learn, and it's just a different environment. Mm-hmm. So I decided at that point that this was a once in a lifetime opportunity to work with the Kobayashis and the McNaughton Group, which, you know, they're one of the top two development firms here in Hawaii.
So it was initially real estate that you came back to.
Yeah,
start
it
doing
would be
for
biotech real estate. Yeah.
And then how did Lava Ventures come about then?
So I saw an opportunity to not just look at, you know, developing space, but also the companies that were being started here in the islands from this tax incentive program that's been created. There's a lot of little startup companies here that have been created. And so that's how I formed Lava Ventures.
So it was your idea then, Lava Ventures?
Yeah. I mean, it was myself, Duncan McNaughton, BJ Kobayashi, Jeff Arce, and Bert Kobayashi.
Okay. Yeah. And then can you talk about that at all, or some of the, you know, home runs that Lava Ventures has hit?
Right. So one of our portfolio companies is Hoku Scientific, and they most recently went public, and we're, you know, very excited about Dustin and his team's progress and the technology that they're creating in alternative energies and fuel cells. I mean, I think what they've got is, you know, it's not only going to be good for the planet, an alternative energy based, not just petroleum based, but you know, they're going to be successful and make money doing it.
So. Did they approach you, or you found them, or how did that come about?
I met Dustin at, I think, a networking event. Yeah,
and then he gave you an elevator pitch, or
yeah, they were doing a round of financing, and so we looked at them, and I was very impressed with his ability and his pitch.
So what was it about his pitch that caught your ear versus, you know, 100 others?
Right. So the story and their business plan made a lot of sense to me. You know, they had all the great criteria for success. You know, the market was well-defined. They had great partners. They were well-capitalized. The management team was wonderful. The technology that they were focusing on was, it seemed to be that they had, you know, they had beat out their competition. And, you know, and the intellectual property was in place. So I was very excited about it. And
so
the
you
fact
had
that
a lengthy discussion with him?
Oh, yes. Yeah, several discussions. And then I spoke with a couple of other people that were also looking at making an investment at the same time.
This is John DeMello from the Mountain Apple Company. You're listening to Carrie and Evan on Greater Good Radio.
You're listening to Greater Good Radio Hawaii. Please visit us online at greatergoodradio.com. Today's guest is Gwen Watanabe, general partner of Saratoga Management, a $10 million medical device venture fund. Gwen currently holds 5 medical device patents and 20 pending. Today she shares with us how in her early 30s she's able to build a strong career while working with a number of community organizations. So if we talk about and kind of change gears and talk about community organizations, you are also one of the founders of the GIF Foundation,
That's
correct?
That's right, GIF Foundation of Hawaii.
Can you talk a little bit about that and, you know, what makes GIF Foundation special?
Sure. So when I had come back to work for BJ, Bert Duncan, and Jeff Arcee, BJ and Prescott Stewart, who's no longer here, had thought of the idea of the GIF Foundation. It was something that Prescott had worked on when he was in the mainland, and thought it was a great idea for the Hawaii community. And so BJ asked me to be a board member, and that was the first year that we did our first event. And I think it's a wonderful idea. The reason why I was attracted to it was because the other board members are all the same age. I mean, I've known them for, back in the Punahou days, mm-hmm. and it was just a neat experience. You know, we had a great time planning the event, meeting, interviewing the different candidates for the gift. And, you know, we had a great time doing it, as well as it was for the greater good.
Can you explain what the event is kind of in your own words, in your own perspective?
Right. So I would say it's a non-traditional fundraising event, and it's a Halloween party, costume party. And we have multiple gifts that we are costume prizes that we give and judge during the event. There's also an auction. And the auction is a live auction. It's typically, there's some outrageous things that we auction off, like cars, etc. So,
like the first year, they had two cars, right?
We had two cars, yeah, that were auctioned off. And so we're very lucky that we have such great sponsors. And also, I would say that our supporters, like for instance, Bert Kobayashi and Duncan, who joined in the fun. Not just supported, not just wrote a check. They also were in costume, so that made it even a greater experience, in my opinion.
So, what would you say makes it non-traditional, though?
I think it's non-traditional in a sense because I think people don't hold back on being in costume, and even if they're prominent business people in Hawaii, they sort of let their hair down, and mm-hmm. I think that I really like that part about it. It's people having fun. But not being worried about what necessarily...
Yeah, it's not your typical stuffy black tie dinner,
exactly.
I'll tell you that for sure.
Exactly.
It's a massive open bar and people in costume and
exactly.
all kinds of stuff going on.
Right, and it's for such great causes that, it also gives us such good feelings about what we're doing.
Do you find that you can kind of give back more by throwing this kind of event and choosing this proper beneficiary as opposed to, donating to some other... charity fund of
some
sort.
Yeah, I think as individuals on the GIF board, we do both. For instance, I was asked to help, and BJ was asked to help the Punahou Case Middle School fundraising, and it happened to be our 15-year reunion. So, we really pushed hard on that effort, and I was involved with the Red Cross here. That they do such an incredible job in disaster relief efforts, etc. So I think there's Hawaii in general is such a community-focused place that I think everyone ends up doing a lot of different things, and the GIF Foundation is one avenue.
So have you found that from the GIF Foundation that, your business has improved, or there's business aspects to that?
I do. I think that, business is about relationships, and it's been a great way to get to know many of the business leaders, because they end up ultimately being the people that you either ask to be sponsors or are on the board with you. So that's, it's about forming business relationships, and doing the GIF Foundation is one way to do that as well.
People want to get information on the GIF Foundation. The web address is thegiftfoundationofhawaii.org. We'll have a link to it on our website as well at greatergoodradio.com. We want to thank Gwen Watanabe for being on our show today on Greater Good Radio Hawaii. For more information on today's show, please join us online at greatergoodradio.com. This is your host, Evan Leong, saying please join us next time for another episode of Greater Good Radio Hawaii. This show is brought to you today by Central Pacific Bank. Fiercely loyal banking.